Welcome to Terrible People Doing Terrible Things. I'm Billy, and I'm a homicidal puppet who likes to torture people.
And I'm Elizabeth Short, also known as the Black Dahlia, and I was found murdered in Los Angeles with permanent smile and completely cut in half.
Lovely. Good ending for you.
Yeah. So always happy over here.
And just so anyone knows, this is our Halloween episode.
Yeah. This is the Halloween spooky special. But before I get started, maybe not obviously, there's going to be a tie-in with the Black Dahlia.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you about the history of the Cecil Hotel.
Okay.
Some people call it Hotel Cecil.
Where is it? I've heard of it.
It's in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. In Los Angeles.
All right.
So before that, though, I figured I would tell you about an experience I had. I guess it was a couple of months ago. That I don't think I ever actually talked to you about this, but I had a moment of sleep paralysis.
Like a few months ago. That's recent.
Yeah, it's pretty recent, a couple of months ago. And I woke up, I was awake, and I just had that feeling of, you know, couldn't move.
Right.
And it was still dark out, but I think it was more towards the morning hours. And it felt like there was someone in the room or something in the room. Mm-hmm. I just had this really bad feeling like there was an intruder.
Yeah.
And I just remember being frozen and I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I could move my eyes around and just had this horrible feeling. And then eventually it was over and I woke up fully.
Yeah. So sleep paralysis is like one of the worst things you can experience as far as like anxiety and stuff goes.
Yes.
Because I used to have sleep paralysis as a kid. I haven't had it in a very long time, but same thing. You know, I was laying in my bed. I woke up and it felt like somebody was like pushing on me. Like holding me down.
Okay, yeah.
And I couldn't move my arms or anything, could only move my eyes around. And I like looked to the side and it looked like there was something over there that had like red eyes.
Oh, wow.
And like I was like freaking out, but I couldn't move. And so I like closed my eyes and I opened my eyes again. I had one of those canopy beds.
Yeah.
And I opened my eyes and the red eyes were above me. and there's nothing you can do. You can't move. You can't speak. And I think that's where my fear of like screaming and nobody hearing and helping.
Nobody helping.
I think that's where that comes from because it's terrifying.
It's terrible. Well, I didn't even see anything and I was freaked out. So I can't imagine if I had seen something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's just your body produces a hormone, I think. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it keeps you in paralysis while you sleep so that you don't injure yourself or act out your dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
But unfortunately, you can wake up before that has dissipated.
Yeah.
And that's what sleep paralysis is you are just paralyzed.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
You're paralyzed. I think it's like REM sleep, like you were saying, we're supposed to be motionless so that we can act things out and hurt ourselves. But then this is...
So you get rest and whatever your body needs.
Yeah, it's happening outside of REM when we should be able to move, but...
Yeah, you never want to be conscious and can't move.
Yeah.
It's just... Do you know what brought it on? Like a particular stressor or something?
I'm not sure. It's possible it was some kind of stressor, but I don't really remember anything specific that I'm kind of tying to that experience or that time. And thankfully, knock on wood, it hasn't happened again. So I think it's just this isolated... I think there's a form of it called isolated sleep paralysis.
Well, that's good because I couldn't imagine dealing with it on a daily basis.
Yes.
Because I know some people do, like some people suffer from sleep paralysis pretty badly. And I think part of it is like the intruder or seeing things. That's part of sleep paralysis. And I think that's where shadow people come from.
Shadow people. And then some people think that that's also where the alien abduction.
Yes, I've heard that too.
Stories come from, at least in part.
In part. Yeah. Definitely not fun. No, I'm sorry you experienced that so recently. Like I said, it's been a long time since I've...
Yeah, but still, if you had it a few times, that's awful.
I was a very anxious child.
Yeah.
Super anxious. I, like, freaked myself out about everything. And I think I just had a panic attack. Like, when I woke up, seeing the stuff and like, not being able to move caused a panic attack.
Oh, yeah.
So then I started to, like, hyperventilate, but you can't move. And you're just moving your eyes around. And I have this thing when I have panic attacks where I have to keep my eyes open.
Okay, yeah.
Because if I close my eyes, it feels like I am either shrinking and I'm like way too small, or I am way too big. And I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know like what it is, but like my limbs and stuff are just like...
That's interesting. And I feel like I've heard about some kind of Alice in Wonderland phenomenon.
Really? I'll have to look more into that.
Where it's like that shrinking and expanding.
Yeah, it's, I don't like it. It's the, like yeah. Maybe the worst part of my panic attacks. I'll keep my eyes open because I'm like, you're not shrinking.
Yeah.
You're not expanding. Keep your eyes open. If you have your eyes open, you can see that it's not happening.
Fucking panic attacks are the worst.
Yeah.
We're terrible.
We're those kind of people.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to have panic attacks and sleep paralysis. So
yeah.
Fun times for us. Well, so I'm going to talk about the Hotel Cecil.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this unspoken motto. So I was looking up like, you know, hotel slogans and stuff like that.
Sure.
And there wasn't a slogan that I found for this hotel, but there was this unspoken motto that was, you don't ask me questions, I won't ask you questions.
What a terrible motto for a hotel. That's so skeezy.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Don't ask, don't tell.
It kind of sets the stage, though, for a lot of the crap that happened here.
That's crazy. Is it like an expensive, like fancy hotel, or is it just like a normal?
It was supposed to be. It started out as an opulent luxury hotel in the 1920s.
Okay.
But it fell on hard times pretty soon because the Great Depression happened.
Yeah,
and
kind of a big thing.
Screwed everything up. So LA, again, it was in Los Angeles, and LA's homeless population grew at this time. And then the neighborhood surrounding Hotel Cecil
mm-hmm.
actually became known as Skid Row after the collapse of the economy.
Oh, I've heard of yes. that. I've heard that term used. I mean, I don't know anything about Skid Row, but I have heard. So it's like right there.
Yeah. Well, and I think it can be used to talk about a number of different places. But if you've heard of Skid Row, you're either thinking of this or you're thinking of that 80s hair metal band, Skid Row, with, yeah. I think, Sebastian Bach, I think was the name of the lead singer.
Really?
Yeah, so like a professional stage name, I'm pretty sure.
Kind of cool to have the last name Bach.
Yeah. And Skid Row, so fun fact, it's a slang term to describe a rundown urban area.
Oh, okay. So they literally named it what it was.
Yes. Yes, just pretty much a way to describe the area.
And this hotel is just right there. So obviously not going to be a great like destination for tourism.
Nope, not anymore. So lots of death has happened here. Shit ton of death over the years. It's murder and suicide and some undetermined deaths.
Ooh.
So in addition to these deaths, it has actually also been the home of a few noted serial killers for a period of time.
Of course it is.
And this includes our favorite stalker of the night stalker himself, Richard Ramirez.
Oh boy.
And an Austrian serial killer who was also a journalist and playwright at one point, Jack Unterweger. Yeah. Probably pronouncing that wrong, but
I don't know. I'll ask my new father-in-law how you pronounce that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you something I remember, like just randomly plucked out, but I don't know the details. A serial killer who would hide bodies under beds.
Okay.
In the hotel.
Okay.
Yeah, it's this hotel.
I don't know because.
Okay.
So what it says, and it's possible that the Unterweger guy did.
Unterweger.
But Ramirez, like I said, he spent a lot of his time here, and this was particularly where he was during his LA killing spree in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And according to what I read, he used the hotel dumpster.
Oh.
As just the dumping ground for his bodies.
It's weird to me that these are like multiple occurrences at the same hotel and we're like, I'm gonna stay here.
Well, I think that it wasn't a lot of just normal people staying there. It was...
Was it a pay by night kind of thing?
It was, you could pay weekly, daily, and I think at one point monthly.
Mm. You gotta worry about those kind of hotels.
Usually yeah. Attract. Well, and it was just a favorite spot for what you could call LA's undesirables.
Great.
So prostitutes, junkies, criminals.
Lovely.
And another interesting thing, Ramirez was seen entering the hotel naked or only wearing his underwear on many different occasions, but because of the nature of the people staying there, no one paid attention.
They were like, not my problem.
Yeah, well, just no one paid attention or not my problem.
Yeah, mind your own business.
Yeah.
You mind your own business. In those kind of places, you mind your own business.
Yeah.
because, you know, you could be at the wrong place at the wrong time and you don't want to bring upon.
Well, I don't want to mess with the naked guy that right. might be covered in blood.
Who's like being fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So to help further illustrate the misfortune that seems right at home here, there have been at least 16 murders and suicides that have taken place.
That's a lot.
Yeah, just since the 1920s. And it's actually, I think, in the 1930s when it first starts. And
wow.
my speculation here is that that Eagles song, Hotel California, is based on the Hotel Cecil. You can check out anytime you like, but you can't ever leave because you'll be murdered or die in some tragic accident.
You'll be murdered or just kill yourself.
Yeah. You're just going to die.
Goodbye.
So before I talk about the hauntings and murder, I am going to talk about suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So I did want to put out a disclaimer here. I am going to briefly be discussing suicides. If you're sensitive to this topic, I would encourage you to skip this episode, listen to something uplifting or some other distracting podcasts that don't cover self-harm or suicide. And if you need help, call 911, visit a local ER, or call the suicide hotline. And there are also text options available now. Oh, so cool. There's a crisis text line. You can just text the word home to 741-741 for support, or just phone or text a friend.
Yeah.
Just call somebody, reach out.
Just always reach out. It's important to just talk about it.
Yeah.
I know people don't want to talk about their problems, and we have this like air of, oh, well, something's wrong with me. Nothing's wrong with you.
Yeah.
We all suffer in different ways. And if you need help, you got to ask out for it, and someone will help you.
Yeah. Somebody wants to help. So after that little brief but necessary PSA, I am going to cover the tragic suicides that have befallen the tenants at Hotel Cecil.
Okay.
And the first tragedy that struck the hotel. So the hotel officially opened its doors in 1927. It took place less than 5 years later.
Okay.
So 46-year-old W.K. Norton checked into the hotel and ended his life by taking a large amount of poison in pill form.
Wow.
Then less than a year later, Benjamin Dodich checked in and would never check back out, as he also ended his life. But he did it via self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. And his body was discovered September 17th, 1932.
God, that's got to be unfortunate for the people who work at the hotel.
The people finding this shit. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
The turnover here had to be high, especially after discovering dead bodies.
Oh, for sure.
So the list of suicides goes on. There were seven more occurring between 1934 and 1954. And in 1962, there were two suicides that occurred on two separate occasions. And the last one, Miss Pauline Otten, she was 27 years old. She jumped from the ninth story window of the hotel and unfortunately landed on a pedestrian who just happened to be strolling by.
Oh, God!
And 65-year-old George Gianni was killed by the fall.
That has to be the most unlucky thing I can think of.
Yes. Like, at first, they thought that he had jumped too, or they were...
Well, I'm sure they were confused, because it's highly unlikely that you jump out of a window and directly land onto a person.
Yes.
Like, the timing has to be perfect.
And you have to hit him just right, I'm assuming, or...
Yeah, I mean, if she hit him, like, if he's standing and she hit him, it would have, like, hurt his neck for sure. It could have broken his neck immediately, depending on how she landed on his head. So, I mean, you gotta think, this woman probably weighs... anywhere from like 120 to 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of weight that's going to drop out of it. You said the ninth story?
Yes, ninth story.
That's high too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even a penny dropped from a really high height can kill somebody.
Yeah,
so.
What is it? It's momentum. It's not momentum. There's another term for it. Velocity. I think it's velocity.
Velocity.
That's a long time ago. Those are classes from high school that I don't really remember.
Neither. We'll go with velocity.
Yeah, velocity.
This woman fell from the ninth story at high velocity and killed this man.
In 1975, there was another suicide by a woman who registered herself under a false name. Then for the next 40 years, no other suicides are reported by Hotel Cecil. So they had a nice little run, nice little cooling off period, so to speak.
Yeah, where people weren't just killing themselves constantly in the hotel.
Weren't just jumping out of windows. I think that was the favorite thing to do. But in 2015, so pretty recently, an unidentified man in his late 20s was discovered at the front of the hotel. and there haven't really been any official answers as to his cause of death. And this was at least as of 2019.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So this hotel is still in operation today?
It kind of is.
Well, that sounds super sus.
They have tried to rebrand and they have tried to do a lot of renovations. So I know it was closed for renovations for a while, and I'm not quite sure if it's opened back up, but they had rebranded under the name Stay on Main.
Okay. So here's the thing. When your hotel has multiple murders or things like that, there's two ways that this can go. Either you're going to become a very popular haunted spot, which some hotels do, or nobody's going to stay there.
Yeah.
And they should have just bulldozed this lot.
Well, they should have done that or just turned it into a haunted destination of sorts.
Exactly. Like, obviously, whatever about the area, whatever is like making this a hot spot for people killing themselves, let's rebrand this and actually change it into something different.
Yeah.
Let's stop doing hotel or like do a hotel, but give it the haunted, the creepy, like, you know, spin.
Yeah. Like, I could see where this is a destination for, you know, obviously people that don't have a lot of income.
Sure.
And maybe even for homeless
yeah.
people. So turn it into a shelter.
Yeah. Just not a fucking hotel.
Yeah, not a hotel. So that's it for the suicides.
So there was no evidence as to how that man died in the front of the CISO hotel.
Not that I could find.
Wow.
I think it was suspected that he had also jumped, but...
You think you'd be able to tell that?
Yeah,
you know.
I don't know. And it's possible that his body was just kind of there, dead.
Also, if he was unidentified, they probably just didn't give a shit
yeah.
enough to actually do a full investigation.
Well, it's if this is still considered Skid Row, who knows how much they investigate any of this stuff.
True. But.
So I'm going to move on to murders and suspicious deaths
right.
now, covered all the suicides, try to get that out of the way early. In 1944, 19-year-old Dorothy Jean Purcell was sharing a room at the Cecil Hotel with her boyfriend.
Okay.
While her boyfriend was sleeping, Purcell, somehow unaware that she was pregnant, I have a hard time wrapping my brain around that.
It depends on how pregnant you are.
Well, it depends on how pregnant you are. I guess it depends on how large you already are, how you're carrying the baby, but
for sure. I mean, if your periods are already irregular, like
yeah.
I wouldn't be able to tell differences in my periods because
yeah.
I never have them. So like not having it is not an indicator for me.
Yeah. It's not an indication of anything changing.
Yeah. And I get sick a lot. So I think being sick yeah. wouldn't be really an indicator
yeah.
either. I'd be like, I'm not pregnant.
I'm not pregnant. Nothing's wrong. So she is unaware she's pregnant, but she goes into labor. So she's pretty pregnant.
Oh, well, okay, bitch. You, if you're 9 months
yeah,
and
like
you don't know you're pregnant,
months.
Are you, like, if that could be just, what's the word for that? Like avoidance?
Denial. She's in
denial. Yeah. She's in denial. She's like, I'm not pregnant. Here comes the baby.
Yeah, well, and she gives birth to a baby boy in the bathroom.
Lovely.
Because she doesn't want to wake her boyfriend up. I don't understand that part, but whatever.
Could be abusive.
It could be.
Yeah.
And it could also just be that she's like, oh shit, I'm pregnant. This is not going to go well. All of a sudden.
Yeah.
Light bulb. She appears to believe that her son is stillborn. And so she throws the infant out of the window. It lands on an adjacent building's roof.
Oh my God. You're a bad person. What the fuck?
Well, I don't think it was stillborn.
She sounds a little delusional.
She sounds a little messed up.
Could have schizophrenia or something else like that. You have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, she's 19. She's young. I don't know her background.
She has a boyfriend. She's pregnant.
They're staying in the Cecil Hotel in the 40s when it's already run down.
Oh, and it's the 40s. Forget being pregnant and with a boyfriend. Like, that was a big deal. You weren't married
yeah.
and you're pregnant
out of
wedlock. Like, who knows?
Yes.
But don't throw your baby off a roof.
I know. Don't throw the baby out the window.
Mm-mm.
So she's charged with murder.
For sure.
But then she is not found guilty by reason of insanity in 1945 after three separate psychiatrists testify to her confused state of mind at the time of the incident.
Okay, let's just put this out here, guys. A fucking plea of insanity is not a legit plea, especially now.
Well, and it's super rare.
Yeah.
To me, this harkens back to like hysteria, women being hysterical is probably how she even
mm-hmm.
got off on this. But it throws me off that you can be confused and that get you the insanity plea.
Yeah, I'm often confused. Am I insane?
I'm confused all the time.
I'm confused right now.
I have no idea what's happening.
To me, it sounds like she panicked.
Yeah.
She panicked and she just went with whatever her brain was like. Oh, this makes sense. I'll throw it out the window. Nobody will ever know.
Poof.
Yeah. So I don't think she's insane, and she probably should have gone to jail.
Yeah. So I think she ended up in psychiatric treatment for a long time, which jail back then.
If she legitimately thought the baby was stillborn, mm-hmm. and then somebody tells you it wasn't,
yeah.
it was alive when you threw it at the thing, that could really fuck you up.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because maybe if she knew that it wasn't stillborn,
maybe she wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know babies sometimes, like, they come out and they don't cry,
yeah.
and that's why you have to, like, the whole snack thing
yeah.
is to get a baby to cry and breathe.
Yeah, or clear out, so, somehow clear
yeah,
out.
Yeah, so maybe he just hadn't, like, taken his first breath yet or something.
Yeah.
So, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
This hotel sucks.
This hotel is pretty fucked up. So, around 20 years later in 1964, hotel staff discovered the body of a retired telephone operator known as Pigeon Goldie Osgood.
What a name.
I know. Pigeon Goldie.
Pigeon Goldie Osgood?
Yes, Osgood.
Pigeon Goldie Osgood.
Yeah. And an investigation of her remains determined she had been raped, beaten, and stabbed.
Great.
And initially, they did arrest a suspicious man who was wearing bloody clothing.
That's pretty fucking suspicious.
And he was apprehended, charged with murder. But then he was let go due to a lack of evidence. So the case remains unsolved.
I mean, let's be honest, that happened a lot.
Yeah.
It still does.
Well, and I guess in this area, it wasn't unusual for people to be walking around covered in blood.
That's just an indicator to me that I don't want to be in that area.
Yeah, I never want to visit Skid Row in LA.
You're just like walking by and you're like, he has blood on him. He has blood on him. She has blood on her.
You're suspicious if you're not covered in blood and wearing all of your clothing. That's what that tells me about this place. In 1992, a man's body was discovered in an alley behind the hotel, and it's unclear whether he jumped to his death, was pushed, or simply fell out of a window. So he obviously fell from great heights, and the identity and exact circumstances of this individual's death also remain unsolved.
Of course.
So lots of unsolved shit. And now I get to the good stuff. So the two more famous cases linked to the Cecil Hotel,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to talk about myself. The Black Dahlia.
The Black Dahlia, which is a major case.
And the Elisa Lam.
Okay.
Elisa Lam. And this one you may have heard of, and it's really fucked up and awesome. But mainly fucked up.
Yeah. I often remember stories by their details and not names.
Yes.
So, I might have a light bulb moment later.
We'll see. Like, my husband hadn't heard of this when I was talking to him earlier, but he was like, oh my God.
It's cool.
When I was telling him. So Elizabeth Short, who most people know as the Black Dahlia,
mm-hmm.
was murdered in 1947 in L.A., and just days before her murder,
mm-hmm.
there is speculation. These are reports that haven't necessarily been verified.
Right.
But people report seeing her at the Cecil Hotel bar. And on January 15th, so just a few days later, she would then be discovered mutilated, her body cut completely in half, and her mouth slashed from ear to ear.
Yeah. So this I've heard of because it's an extremely famous case.
Yes.
And an extremely brutal murder. That's very odd, too, and very difficult to cut a human completely in half.
Well, and I think they mentioned surgical precision, so mm-hmm. they thought it was a doctor for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a son has stepped forward. I think he's a detective or a police officer now, and he's written a book claiming he thinks his father did it.
Okay.
And it's actually pretty compelling.
I mean, sure does seem like a crime of passion.
Yes.
Or a serial killer.
Yes, sadistic.
Sadistic, because like to cut the mouth from mouth to ear.
Yeah.
Is to me, it seems similar to like acid attacks and stuff like that when you're trying to like deface
beauty. Yeah.
Because like a lot of times happens to models sometimes with their boyfriends, mm-hmm. they leave them or whatever. And they're like, well, you'll never be pretty again. And like,
yeah.
That's what that sounds like to me, to just like cut your mouth completely open. And do they know if she was alive when this happened?
I don't know. So I didn't look into that.
Mm.
Not sure.
I would hope not. Hopefully she was already dead.
Yeah, I hope so. This case remains unsolved despite what appears to be like significant efforts on the part of police and the community at large. I think they really put a lot of effort into trying to solve the case, and just leads just did not go anywhere.
It happens.
Yeah.
It definitely happens.
Yeah.
I could see it being the husband for sure.
Well, I don't think she was married.
Oh, well, wait, so the kid, who's the kid?
This is just a kid. This is a man's son comes forward saying he thinks his father did it.
Oh, so just some random. Well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, this guy that I think he's in law enforcement in some manner, has something to do with law enforcement now, but he's written this book about his father being the Black Dahlia killer.
Interesting. I'd be interested to see what his reasoning for that is.
Like I said, it's pretty compelling. I listened to a podcast about it and I can't remember which one or what now, but I don't know. It had me believing that it was this person he was pointing to.
Interesting.
And that there's a lot of other weird shit that was going on with this guy and the circles he was running in. So,
oh, lovely. Yay. So his dad was not a great guy.
Yeah, not a good guy. Yeah. And then the Elisa Lam case is a more recent unsolved murder. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of unanswered questions surrounding her death. In 2013, the Canadian college student's body was discovered floating in the water tank.
I've heard of this.
Yes.
Because there's video of her in an elevator.
Yep.
Like looking weird and like playing like hide and go seek with something. Weird.
Yes.
Acting really weird.
Looks like she's talking or gesturing to someone or something.
Right. And then she winds up in the water tank on the roof of the hotel.
Yeah.
Floating. I believe she was naked too, wasn't she?
I think she was.
I think she was naked.
Yeah.
And they couldn't tell how she had gotten in there, if she had done it herself.
Well, I think that's what they've kind of landed on, is that she did it herself.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know about that.
I watch a lot of horror YouTube and hauntings and things like this. So this is a major, like, ghost story kind of thing. Because
yeah.
I don't think they had any suspects or really anything. And the weird behavior in the elevator and the weird stuff she was doing...
Yeah.
Makes a lot of people think that, oh, it was like spirits, demons.
Yeah, she was being haunted and attacked by something.
Yeah. Or she could be just very mentally ill.
She could. She could have been.
But I don't think she had a history of that, which made it even stranger.
Yeah, it is interesting why she was at the Cecil Hotel in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't necessarily mean she was doing anything wrong. But it kind of leads to that question of, was she on drugs? Was she high out of her mind and seeing things?
I mean, if you watch the video, it's certainly interesting.
Yeah.
And odd behavior for sure.
Yeah.
It seems like somebody talking to somebody who's not there.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be somebody outside of the elevator, like down the hall, that we're not seeing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't think they had any video of her like with anybody. She was just alone.
Just alone in that hotel, acting
very strange.
Scared.
Yeah.
Scared and bizarre. So she had been missing for 3 weeks when residents of the hotel began complaining of a smell and funny taste to their water.
That's disgusting.
Yes. So she had potentially been in this water tank for 3 weeks and people had been drinking and bathing and brushing their teeth.
That's really gross.
Yeah.
Like that's...
It's horrifying.
And could you imagine, like, you find out, you're like, hey, my water tastes funny here at this hotel. And they're like, well... There's a dead woman in the water tank. Sorry.
Dead lady water. Sorry about that, guys.
Like, goddamn.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't imagine because the way bodies decompose in water.
Oh, yeah. The skin just
kind of like sloths off. They float
off. Slothing off.
Yeah. I can't imagine pulling her out of there.
Yeah.
In what state she was at that point.
Yep.
I wonder if they offered refunds. They're like, so sorry.
I don't know.
Did you refund?
I don't know if they, what they did or if they did anything to compensate.
Hmm. Yeah. That's definitely one of the weirdest, like, I've seen that video so many times on so many, like, haunting channels and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
That's a very...
It's bizarre. And like you said, some people believe it's foul play regarding her death. Some people believe that this is just pointing to the fact that the hotel is very fucking haunted, which I get.
Yeah, I understand.
It can be very haunted.
I totally understand the fear there because it definitely is weird.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of on the fence either way. Like I logically know there's no such thing as ghosts, but horror side of me is like, I want there to be ghosts.
Yeah.
Because I want to see it. I want
to
see it.
There need to be ghosts. I want to have a friend ghost, a friendly little ghost.
I don't. If I die, I want to be a ghost and I'm going to haunt all of you.
Yeah.
But in like fun ways and not like scary ways. So you'll just know I'm there and I'll write on your thing. I'll be like, don't be afraid. It's Nora's ghost. Let me help you with your hair. Just like be a horrible.
Start lifting it in the background.
Yeah, just... Or I would haunt whoever murdered me.
Yeah.
Like a fucking phantom level of haunting.
I think I might just haunt bad people.
You want to be a vigilante ghost?
Can I just like haunt people like Weinstein and Trump and...
It'd be pretty funny.
Putin.
I wouldn't mind. If you died and they were like, here's your assignment, I'd be like, fuck yes.
You're going to haunt this asshole.
Fail us.
Yeah.
Going right now. About to make this dude's life horrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I understand. I understand the suspicion that it could be something supernatural, because when there is no explanation for something,
we seek one. We fill in those holes and those question marks.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in matters like this, the person is dead and they can't tell you what happened.
Yeah.
So you just kind of will never know.
Yeah. So there have been some reports of hauntings. I didn't find a whole lot when I looked into this, except people just talking about how fucked up the history of the place is. But people have shared stories about kind of the typical experiences people report with hauntings. So cold spots, seeing shadowy figures in and around the hotel. And then there's even a photo that supposedly captures a ghostly image of someone.
Love ghost photos.
Like outside of a window, almost like reenacting or reliving their death, their suicide.
Yeah.
I saw the photo and I wasn't that impressed, but
it has to be a really good photo if I'm going to think that, because like there's so many camera malfunctions and issues and stuff
that
can happen with your cameras.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to produce any kind of ghost evidence
seems valid and credible
in this day and age, because you can Photoshop, you can make fake videos. If I don't see it for myself in this day and age, I do want to, God, we need to go on a road trip after this whole pandemic thing is over and go see a bunch of haunted places.
I know. If we ever can.
Go to the Cecil Hotel. No, just kidding. I don't want to go to Skid Row. I'd be afraid. I don't know.
There it is. Just get in a helicopter that goes just low enough and then get the fuck out.
Or just drive by and be like, oh, okay.
Drive by at like 90 miles per hour. There it was.
There was.
There was.
And there it goes.
We're good. We survived.
Off to our hotel.
Off to our hotel, way far away from this hotel of death. And some people have reported seeing a ghostly woman who resembles Elizabeth Short around the area.
So you be haunting the place.
So I am. I'm haunting it. Yeah. Haunting it good.
I mean, I don't blame you. You got really fucked up there, so.
I did, man. Fuck LA. Fuck people who murdered me. Something that was interesting, people who've stayed at the hotel have reported dark figures in their rooms, like grabbing at their bed sheets.
I don't like that.
No, that's a big nope. That's a big nope for me. Yeah. Mm-mm. And like I said, there's just not a whole lot going on. That's all I really found. It seems to really just be this hotel's dark and violent past that makes it terrifying.
I mean, that makes it terrifying enough. It doesn't really need to be haunted, honestly. It's got enough really terrible shit.
It's got its reputation just based on all the shit that's happened here. Yeah. So maybe that's why the ghosts aren't that active. They're like, no, it's good.
We don't have to.
It's good.
This place just sucks in general. This
place is just fucked up. So, yeah. So that's it for the Hotel Cecil.
That's interesting. I didn't know that Miss Lam was the Cecil Hotel.
Yeah.
I love doing the show because I always connect stuff when you tell me stories and stuff. I'm like, oh, I've heard of that. Is that where that's at? I can't remember anything.
I know. Learn something new. Well, that is it for my spooky episode.
Happy Halloween.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Happy, happy Halloween. Hope you enjoy it this year.
We'll start putting the videos up of
our
things. And you can check out the videos on YouTube and you can see us dressed really interestingly.
Yes. Yes. See, Amanda is the Black Dahlia and Laura is Billy the puppet from Saw.
Billy.
You want to play a game?
My name's Billy.
My name's Billy.
That's not what he sounds like. That's what I'm going to go with.
I wish that was what he sounded like.
It'd be way less scary.
Yeah.
Wake up and it's like,
I want to play a game.
Who are you?
My name's Billy. What's your name?
Billy.
My name's Billy. Do you like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? I like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I have a tricycle.
She's an annoying kid. I have a tricycle. Where's your tricycle?
See the tricycle? Stupid.
You don't have a tricycle. I'm cool. Like, fuck you, Billy. Shut up. Trying to sleep.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you guys for joining, checking us out. Check us out on social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube.
Check out our Patreon and support us if you would like to.
Yes, if you wish to see more. And then tell us what you think of the episodes, what you want to hear about.
Yeah, give us that feedback and some ideas, and we will consider using them.